Welcome to Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm chatting with Tom Deere. The H in his last name is silent, as he likes to say. Tom is not only an in-demand voiceover talent, but a VO strategist. What does that mean? You're going to find out. I'm excited for you to hear how Tom speaks about the need for voiceover talent to develop a business acumen, why it's essential for talent to take responsibility for their career, to be an entrepreneur, and to know how to set up clear, attainable goals. Listen in. Tom Deere, H being silent, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I truly, truly appreciate it. So I want to start off by asking you what I ask everyone when they take the time to talk with me. How the heck did you find voiceovers? Because they don't talk about it at career day.
No, that's because we don't have a career day. So it was 1994, and I had just dropped out of graduate school for acting. I went to got my BFA in theater, and then I went to the National Shakespeare Conservatory here in Manhattan for classical training and acting. My plan was to be a Shakespearean actor. That was my that was my plan. I didn't want to be rich, didn't want to be famous, just wanted to ply my trade in New York doing Shakespeare. That's what I wanted. And I dropped out of graduate school for various reasons. So I'm at home, still living with my mom at the time, and she's reading New Jersey Monthly magazine. And she's going through the ads and the classifieds in the back. And she says, "What's voiceover?" And I'm like, "I don't know. You talk for money?" I'd only heard about it that some people do it on the side for extra money. And, you know, she said, "Well, there's a coach nearby. You should check her out." So I checked her out and I worked with her. Her name was Hope Noah. Coached with her, worked with her for 6 months. And then I went to a recording studio, cut my demo, my commercial demo. And then she gave me a big stack of Xerox copies. And she's like, "Okay, here's a bunch of production directory listings. Start making your cold calls and good luck."
Wow, feet to fire. So how did that work turn out for you?
Terribly. It was awful. I mean, there were obviously many successful voice talents, many, you know, leading up to that moment, but there was no Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Dropbox, pay-to-play sites, casting sites, forums, podcasts, meetup. There was like, there was nothing on that level. It was 100% analog. You had to live in a major city. You had to physically go to the recording studios and audition. And, you know, you really needed to be an agent. You needed to have an agent to be effective, and you needed to be in the union to get good work. So I didn't know what I was doing. So I thought that I just needed to live the lifestyle, which was wait tables and then go on auditions.
Right.
And I did that for a long time, and I didn't get anywhere for a very, very long time. So yeah, no, it didn't start out too well.
I know things shifted for you. So how did things shift?
A couple of things happened. One of the big ones was that I joined the voiceover bulletin board. This was 2006. Oh, also I got fired from my job. So that was late 2005. So I got kicked out of the nest, which was kind of the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because from 94 to 2005, I mean, I was getting some work here and there and doing a little of this and doing a little of that. But most of my decisions were based out of insecurity and fear and the stereotypical view of how a starving artist is supposed to operate. And shockingly, I didn't get anywhere. I also hated going to New York. I love New York. I mean, I'm living in New York now, but the commute was a pain. And, you know, I didn't want to deal with the expense, and living, you know, living in New Jersey is cheaper and I could be a commuter, but, you know, it was inconvenient. And I didn't want to go to a networking event on a weeknight because, you know, 2 hours of traffic and da 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 da. So I had all these built-in excuses, logistical and otherwise. Getting fired helped. Joining the voiceover bulletin board helped, because I discovered that I wasn't alone, that there was this community of voice talents all over the country who were having similar challenges. Mm-hmm. I built my own booth in 2006. And then I did some gigs here and there. But what really, 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 really turned the corner for me was 2011, when I went to my first voiceover conference. That changed my life.
Okay. And why was that? Because you saw people that were doing what?
I met like-minded people, because I always felt like the square peg in the round hole. Mm. I also my friends, I had a, there's a particular group of friends who were all married with kids and mortgages and 9-to-5 jobs. And I never had any money. And I was single almost all of the time because I was trying to ply this trade and I was working at night and doing this during the day. And I thought that my aspirations were supposed to be get married, have a kid, have a house, you know, live the suburban life. But I'm trying to do this voiceover thing at the same time. So I truly didn't fit because my values, I didn't realize that my values didn't align with that stereotypical American dream. And there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, that's what the vast majority of people aspire to, and that's fine. But that just wasn't my calling. But I didn't know it. I resisted it. But when I actually started to listen to myself and listen to the people in my community by going to this voiceover conference and being like, wow, there's 100 people that are kind of just like me and they value the same thing that I do. And a lot of them are square pegs in the round holes of what America's conventional idea of success is supposed to be. So being there was a big part of it. But what was even bigger a part of it was that I felt like I didn't deserve to be there. This was FAFCON, by the way, FAFCON 3 in Pennsylvania. And I felt like I didn't deserve to be there. I assumed that everyone that was attending the conference was more successful and knowledgeable than I was. Mm-hmm. So I needed to prove to myself and everyone else there that I belonged there. So what I did was, for those of you who aren't familiar with FAFCON, it's a voiceover conference that has an unconference format. There are no speakers. The attendees decide what we're going to talk about, and then we talk about it. So I put together a seminar on how to basically build a business plan as a voice talent. And I had experience doing other things that kind of led me to have that skill set to be able to make that presentation. And there were 100 people at the conference, but 50 of them approximately showed up for my class. So I was terrified. And I did the class and it went very, very well. And then and the day I got home, I got just crushed with work. I just got buried. We call it the faffalanche.
You got crushed with voiceover work?
Got crushed with voiceover work when I got home. The Monday I came home, there was like 5 or 6 or 7 gigs in my inbox. Wow. And it didn't directly have anything. I think it was a kind of a coincidence, but also all the seeds that I've been planting and all the hard work that I've been doing, basically from 2006, when I started to actually figure out what I needed to do to be an effective voice talent, till 2011, which is about 5 years, which common wisdom is that it takes about 5 years for your business to really get up and running, no matter what industry it is. Mm-hmm. 5 years, boom, I got pummeled with work. And then a few days later, I got a phone call from a friend saying, expect a call from Edge Studio. Dave Goldberg, the owner of the studio, was in the room when you gave your presentation and he'd like to talk to you. And then I became a coach, teaching business and marketing as a voice talent, all because I went to that voiceover conference and all because I taught that one class.
So I got to ask, give me some of the nuggets, if you can recall, that you gave to those, you know, the talent and in that class that day, like regarding marketing and yourself and business.
The big thing is that if you want to be an effective voiceover artist inside the booth, you need to be an effective voiceover business outside the booth. That's the problem with most voice talents entering the industry. They have this preconceived notion of what it means to do the work and get the work. American Idol, Chorus Line, while these are entertaining things, they do immeasurable damage culturally to people who are trying to become an actor, singer, dancer, model, musician, voice talent. Because basically the message is, if you're not a star, you're a loser.
Well, and it pushes in that the notion of, you know, that song I'm thinking of from Chorus Line, God, I Hope I Get It, that desperation.
Yes. And there shouldn't be a level of desperation. You should be challenged and inspired and work your butt off and do everything that you can to be the best voice talent and the best person that you can be. And there will be massive amounts of failure because, you know, we audition and we don't get the gig, and that's fine. But that God, I Hope I Get It mentality makes you think like a starving artist. And that's where most people go off the rails before they even start their voiceover career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the big message, is learn to think like a business, have effective systems of thought, which turn into effective systems of execution. Once you learn how to think like a voiceover business, a lot of stuff will fall into place, because most people just kind of slam into the voiceover industry sideways with no training and no money, no acumen, no skill sets that are pertinent, no discipline, and just the wrong way to think about it. I got to get an agent. I got to get in the union. I got to get discovered. That's a lot of garbage. Yes, agents are wonderful. I have many of them. And being the union is a very powerful and useful tool to standardize and protect the voiceover industry and television and film and all that. But that's not what you need to be a successful voice talent. You need to get your act together, learn to comport yourself as an effective voiceover business before you can worry about agents and unions and big gigs and all that stuff.
So I know that you, in addition to being a fabulous voiceover talent, are also a VO strategist and work with talent specifically on this. I am flooded with questions right now that I didn't send you, so I apologize, because now I'm like, oh my God, I got to ask this, I got to ask that.
That's okay.
And I guess I'll start with, because I'm feeling overwhelmed, how do you chunk this down for someone who doesn't have a business acumen, who plays in the space of, you know, just creativity and imagination? And can someone who plays in that space develop a business acumen?
Absolutely. Anyone can develop a business acumen. I mean, I didn't take a single business course in college. I was an acting major. I took makeup and stage combat and dialects and all that stuff. So I didn't have a lick of voice of business or marketing training in college or graduate school. They basically taught, I was taught the craft of acting, which is what you should be taught in, in a university structure or in an institution like the National Shakespeare Conservatory. This is the craft. There is no, or for the longest time, there was no facility or institution or system to teach you the business of it. The reason why is because it used to be the God, I hope I get it, chorus line, American Idol thing. But then a little thing came along called the internet.
Right.
And the internet changed everything, because now the barrier for entry for the voiceover industry is down to your ankles, when it used to be up to your eyeballs, because of the availability of technology, hardware and software, and the ability to audition and perform and market yourself on the internet. It's completely changed everything. So now every voice talent who's entering the voiceover business today has to be an entrepreneur, as opposed to just another actor going on cattle calls. So that changed everything. So the nuggets, the bits of like how to develop that acumen is to just rub the stars out of your eyes, for starters, and take responsibility for your career. Most people go into the industry thinking, if I want to be a successful voice talent, I need an agent and get in the union. Those are things that can facilitate and catalyze your voiceover career, but they don't start your career. They don't make you successful. They make you more successful. Nobody wants plans. Everybody wants lottery tickets. So
that's a tweetable there.
Sure. You can tweet that all you want. They enter the industry with the intent of immediately relieving themselves of the responsibility of their career by thinking that they just need to put it in the hands of the agents and the unions. And that's not how it works. An agent will not represent you if you have not proven that you can make them money. Agents are not managers. They're not developers of talent.
It's almost like we've developed this kind of learned helplessness, if you will. In the schools, the majority of the schools, you go there and the way we're being taught is to be worker bees, right?
Yes.
And so then when you think about being an entrepreneur or being an artist, you've got so many different boxes that you need to check. But how do you know which box to check? And how do you, like, it's just, I'm just like, my brain feels like it's short circuiting a little bit.
Okay. Well, Dan Duckworth, who's a great voiceover actor and mentor, he ran Voiceovers Unlimited here in Manhattan for a very long time. And I took a bunch of his classes over the years. And he taught me that there are five categories of your voiceover business: cash flow, tools, technique, marketing, and health. And everything that you need to do as an effective voiceover business falls into one of those categories. So it makes it a lot easier to figure out what you want to do and how to set goals. That's the other thing about goals. I always say that vague goals will get you vague results. Specific goals will get you specific results. What do you want to do? I want to be rich and famous. That's nice. What does that mean? Get an agent? Okay, great. Next, you know, enjoy your career at Denny's, because, you know, that's about all you got. You know, not, no offense to Denny's. I love the Grand Slam breakfast, but nobody thinks that they can pick up a violin and start playing at a concert level, but every yutz with a deep voice and a USB mic without training or a demo or business acumen tries to do what we do for a living. And no wonder why it's so crowded. So if you're able to understand those five categories and what they mean, cash flow, how do I make money? How do I invest in my business? How do I save money for a rainy day in my retirement, you know, to tools? How do I get the right microphone and the right recording equipment? To the marketing, you know, how do I brand myself? How do I utilize social media to be the voice of my brand? All of those things, you know, because IBM, they don't just wake up and be like, hey, everybody, let's make some computers. And then they all run downstairs with their hammers and saws. There's a process, there's a system, and you need to focus on every part of your business to be successful. If you're just auditioning all day, you're ignoring 80% of the rest of your voiceover business that you need to be effective in the 21st century.
Yeah. Okay, so when people work with you as a VO strategist, do you have a specific plan in place where it's like, okay, we're going to focus on cash flow for this month, and then next month, we're going to focus on how you're marketing yourself?
That's a very good question. What I do with all of my students, the very first thing we do is have a diagnostic session where I ask them a series of very uncomfortable questions about every single aspect of their voiceover business as currently constituted. Then I make a diagnosis, and then I let them know where all the holes are in their current voiceover business model, or even if they may not even have a voiceover business model. And then we put together an action plan to fill all of those holes. The key is to be able to focus on all five areas of your voiceover business every single week so your business moves forward, because you can't have good tools if you don't have cash flow.
Right.
You can't audition effectively unless you have good technique. You can't find good auditions unless you have effective marketing. So all of them have a relationship to each other. So I try to teach what is the relationship between you and the industry and your business in these five areas of your business. The ground floor of it all is that we were all raised to be 9-to-5 worker bees, employees. Mm-hmm. And employees think differently, work differently, get paid differently, and spend their money differently than businesses do. So you take all that, and now you go from this rigid environment where you have a job description and a cubicle and a computer and a list of tasks and a list of deadlines, and you get performance reviews and bonus structures and benefits and, you know, all that stuff. And then you go from that to, okay, it's 9 a.m. I'm sitting at my desk. Nobody's home. What the hell do I do now?
Right.
I have no job description. I have no list of tasks. I have no deadlines except for getting auditions in and getting projects done. So how do I manage myself? And that's where so many people go completely off the reservation, because they're thinking like, okay, I'm gonna be a voice talent, and then 2 o'clock rolls around and they're rolling, watching reruns of Punky Brewster, and they wonder what the hell just happened with their whole day.
Yeah. You know? Or they're surfing Facebook or something.
They're just screwing around on Facebook all day and just not getting anywhere. So that's kind of what I teach in the time management classes. How do you think like a business, and how do you organize your business and structure your day around the things that you need to get done to be an effective voiceover business?
Yummy. So tell me, how can folks learn more about you and reach out and connect with you if they want to?
Go to vostrategist.com, and it gives you a breakdown of the services that I provide and a list of all the types of topics that we can talk about, workflow, cost-benefit analysis. There's also links to other podcast interviews that I've done. This will be one of them very shortly. and everything that you need to know to be an effective voiceover business. So yeah, vostrategist.com. And then you just go scroll down to the contact form, and we can take it from there.
Awesome. So I have one last question for you. Do you have a moment?
Sure.
Okay. Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your overall voice conveys in life as well as in work?
That's a good question. What I'm doing as the voiceover strategist is my way of giving back to an industry and to a community that has been so kind to me over such a long period of time. My vision and what I've been fortunate enough to do for quite some time now is to spare so many aspiring as well as veteran voice talents the pains and mistakes that I have gone through over 20 plus years of trial and error, or more like error and error. So my instinct is to teach and to share and to develop. So for life and in my profession, I just want to help everyone's lives be a little bit better than they were the day before by being more self-aware and being more thoughtful and examining their assumptions and managing their expectations. That's my mantra for this year, is assumptions and expectations. Understanding what your assumptions are as a human being and how you manage your expectations based on those assumptions that you have about yourself and the world and the people in your life.
I love that. Tom, dear, you are a dear. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, thanks. This was fun.
Join me next week where I'll be talking with Christy Harst, a lovely and talented voiceover talent based in Cleveland, Ohio. While Christy works in a variety of areas within voiceovers, she's developed a niche for herself in medical narration. We'll be talking about how she found that niche, what she likes about it, and how she finds work. Until then, here's to owning our voices.